Thank you, Edna Fern Hurst. God bless you for sharing that offertory with us this morning. If you have your Bibles, and I trust that you do, let me invite you to find Luke chapter 2 and verse 41. Luke chapter 2 and verse 41. Was Jesus ever lost? Was Jesus ever lost? Hopefully that question has momentarily piqued your curiosity or your interest. Most of the time when we hear that word lost in a spiritual context, in a church, we're talking about someone's spiritual condition, whether or not they have been saved. Well, the obvious answer to that question, if that's the context and that's the definition that we're using and asking the question, was Jesus ever lost? The obvious answer is no, he was not. However, if we are looking from a physical perspective, if we are considering the experience of his parents, Joseph and Mary, then yes, in fact, Jesus was, in their minds, temporarily lost. And if you're a parent this morning, I'm sure that you have probably encountered or experienced that awful feeling yourself at one time or another. But this is the story this morning that we come to at the end of Luke chapter 2. If you're a guest with us this morning, we are studying the Gospel of Luke, verse by verse and chapter by chapter. And so we're going to finish Luke chapter 2 this morning. And if you come back, and I hope that you will, next Sunday morning, we will be in Luke chapter 3 and verse 1. And we will go throughout the Gospel of Luke looking at the life of Jesus Christ according to Dr. Luke. Well, hopefully you've had an opportunity to find Luke chapter 2 and verse 41. Would you stand with me this morning, if you're able, following along? You thought that we weren't doing that anymore. Well, we are. It's just that those passages of Luke that we considered in the month of December were pretty long passages of Scripture. So I wanted to be considerate of you in that regard, and so we are returning this morning to standing for the reading of God's Word, beginning in Luke chapter 2, verse 41, and through the end of the chapter. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And when they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. And so when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And so when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And Jesus said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for bringing the body of Christ together on this Lord's day to worship you in spirit and in truth and to hear from you through your word. I pray, Father, for over these next few moments for you to keep us from distraction, keep us from the devil, And Lord, give us what your word calls gifts from above. Eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart that is receptive to your word. In Jesus' name that we pray, amen. God bless you, and you can be seated. I want to share with you three challenges this morning. Three challenges from our text. And the first is found in verses 41 through 45. And it's a challenge for Joseph and Mary. And the challenge for Joseph and Mary that the text lets us in on is parenting a little boy. That was their challenge, and that may be your challenge this morning, parenting of young children. But we're reminded a little bit about Joseph and Mary, beginning there in verse 41. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. See, we know a little bit about Joseph and Mary and what we studied in Luke 1 and up until this point in Luke chapter 2. And we remember that they are very devout and faithful Jews. The Old Testament law required Joseph and all adult males to be in Jerusalem at this time. But that's not what verse 41 says. Verse 41 says that his parents, both Joseph and Mary, were in Jerusalem. So that reminds us a little bit about Mary's devotion and Mary's faithfulness. She went not because she had to, but because she wanted to. And they were in Jerusalem again for the feast of the Passover. This was about an 8-day festival. And I think it's important for me to remind you just very, very briefly, what was the Passover? If you'll remember in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel was enslaved to Pharaoh in Egypt. And on multiple occasions, the Lord, through Moses, tried to get Pharaoh to let the Lord's people go. And the Lord sent plagues in order to accomplish his desires. And on multiple occasions, Pharaoh agreed to let the Israelites go, but then he would change his mind at the last minute. And then finally, when the Lord had enough, he sent a 10th and final plague in the form of the death angel. And if you'll remember, the death angel was going from house to house in Egypt, rendering God's judgment. But Moses had given instructions to the Israelites. On your house and on your doorway, take the blood of a sacrificed lamb and splatter it on the doorway. And the death angel will then pass over you in judgment, going from house to house. Eventually, Pharaoh did let the people of Israel go. And the Passover would be a foreshadowing of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, wanting to spare as many as possible from God's judgment. And for you and any individual, if you will simply take the sacrifice of the perfect, spotless, unblemished Lamb, Jesus Christ, and apply his work to your heart and to your life as Lord and Savior, then one day God will pass over you, not judging you for your sin, but having already judged Jesus Christ. Joseph and Mary were in Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. Verse 42, And when Jesus was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. We think that Joseph was probably trying to prepare Jesus in advance. You know, at 13 years of age, Jesus would have had his bar mitzvah, that transition from adolescence to manhood for Jewish males. And Joseph taking Jesus to Jerusalem in preparation multiple years in advance for this. By the way, did you note that after Jesus' birth and until he was 12 years old, we know nothing? The Bible is silent. And that may be frustrating to some of you this morning, and I understand that. But there's more frustration to come because he is a 12-year-old. We won't hear anything more about Jesus Christ until he's introduced again in Luke's gospel. And this time, he'll be 30. So 1 to 12, nothing. 12 to 30, nothing. 12-year period of life, 18-year period of life, we know nothing. Brothers and sisters, sometimes God's word is silent. And you and I can speculate, but we certainly should not be dogmatic where God's word is silent. And it's okay that God's word is silent in those instances. Jerusalem was probably bustling with hundreds and thousands of individuals who had come for this annual feast. Verse 43 says, when they had finished the days, that particular feast was an 8-day feast, and they were returning where? To Nazareth, some 80 miles from Jerusalem, probably a 3 to 4 day journey by foot. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother Mary did not know it. See, it was a challenge for them as parents. They would have come to Jerusalem, not just with immediate family, but extended family. And not just extended family, but also other members of the Nazareth community. And so they had assumed or thought that Jesus was with someone else, doing something else. Verse 44, but supposing him to have been in the company as they were heading back to Nazareth, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. Verse 45. And so when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. This challenge for these parents is a challenge that in the room this morning we've had as well as parents. As I mentioned, surely there's been a time in your life, I know it's true for me and for my wife and parenting three daughters, there's been times in our life when we weren't sure where a daughter was. And it is an awful feeling, a terrible feeling. And we're thankful that they were all found quickly and alleviated our fears. But here's the bottom line as it relates to this challenge for Joseph and Mary. To all of our parents this morning, I say to you, there's no such thing as an expert in parenting. There's not a class in parenting. And we don't necessarily have a book specifically for parenting. But we do have a manual for life. We do have a manual for life as an individual. And I just want to remind you and encourage you this morning, moms and dads, to take advantage of this book and to take advantage of this body. We are here for one another. We're not free from mistakes. We've all parented by trial and error. And we trust that the Lord will see us through. This challenge for Joseph and Mary. But also I want to remind you of a challenge about Jesus. A challenge about Jesus. Notice verse 46. And so it was that after 3 days, and so let me see if I can help you with this timeline here. So they traveled a day away from Jerusalem. And they got to the end of the day and where they were going to spend the night and realized Jesus wasn't there. But they didn't, because of the time, they didn't turn around and go back immediately. They stayed the night, got up the next morning, and went back to Jerusalem. Okay, so that's now the second day. And again, because it was so late, they got up, and the next morning, on the third day, is when they put their search in high gear. And verse 43 says that they found him. When they had finished the days, as they returned, verse 46, so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking questions. I really appreciate what Brother Jimmy said just a moment ago. If you're looking for a New Year's resolution for 2024, brothers and sisters, let us be about more listening in 2024. This is a great model here for education. It's not just simply lecture, but it's dialogue. Verse 46 says that they were listening to them and asking questions. And it's okay to ask questions, brothers and sisters. Certainly questions can be an indication of doubt. They can be an indication of insubordination, but questions can also be simply to clarify the situation. And so it's a good thing to ask questions for clarity. And there was Jesus in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And notice the two responses that we see in verses 47 and 48. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And so when they saw him, they, Joseph and Mary, were amazed. Now, why was everybody astonished? And why were Joseph and Mary amazed at what they were seeing and what they were hearing? Because this was not your normal 12-year-old. This was a 12-year-old who in verse 49 claimed to be God's son. Look there in the text. Verse 49 is our first recorded words of Jesus Christ. What did he say? Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Notice that Jesus claimed God in heaven as his Father. He was claiming to be in what he said. And now in the pages of Scripture, what we have, he was claiming to be fully God as God's Son. But we know from Scripture and even this particular story that Jesus Christ is not only fully God, but he is also fully human. Look at verses 50 and 51. But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and then listen to this, and was subject to them. You know what Luke just said? Luke just said Jesus was an obedient little boy. He minded his mama and his daddy. He surrendered himself to his parents, demonstrating, again, not just being fully God, but being fully human. And therein lies the challenge for us. That Jesus Christ is fully God, but he's also fully human. How do we reconcile that? We don't have to reconcile what the Bible teaches clearly. Yes, that's difficult to reconcile in the mind of an individual who doesn't have a relationship with Christ, but for those who are followers of Christ, we trust God's Word. We trust God's Word, even though we may not fully understand it, that God's Word tells us that Jesus Christ was fully God and fully man at the same time. And so then here is, number three, a challenge for you and me. A challenge for you and me in 2024. I'm so grateful for Jesus' words recorded there in verse 49. Here's my challenge to you, brothers and sisters, in 2024. Let us, and make sure that you are about your Father's business. Because certainly there will be multiple opportunities in the new year for you to be about everybody else's business. But number one, make a commitment today, if you haven't already, to be about your Father's business, your Heavenly Father's business. I think that what that looks like is actually captured in this text in the use of a word that Luke uses again and again and again. You know, when the biblical writers were writing and they wanted to communicate emphasis, they didn't use all caps. They didn't use bold. They didn't use underline. They didn't italicize. What did they do? They repeated. Repeat, 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 repeat. Look in verse 44. I want you to notice the repetition of a word. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him. And then verse 45. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. And then in verse 48. So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you," past tense of seek, "we have sought you anxiously." And then verse 49, and Jesus said to them, "Why did you seek me?" Luke uses that word seek intentionally. That reminds us, that puts flesh on, what does it mean to be about the Father's business? It means seeking Jesus. Seeking Jesus in your everyday life. I want to encourage you in 2024. One of the ways that you can seek Jesus and be about your Father's business is to read God's Word. Read God's Word every day. We have our January edition of our member handbook and directories, and it has a Bible reading plan for the year. And it's not too late for you to get caught up. Today's only the seventh day. But you don't even have to get caught up. You can start today and finish on January 6th of 2025. But let me challenge you and encourage you to seek Jesus by reading God's Word. Also seek Jesus by being about prayer, praying for others, praying for yourself, praying for God's will to be done. We pray together corporately on Wednesday nights at 6:30. There are still time slots available for you to commit an hour a week in our intercessory prayer room, if your schedule will allow. Let me also encourage you to be about the Father's business in your financial giving in 2024. being faithful in the giving of your tithes, being faithful in the giving of your offerings. By the way, in January of every year, I want to remind you and invite you to be one of our World Mission Fund families in 2024. Giving $25 a week for 52 weeks to take the gospel all across Texas, all across the United States, all across the world. If you would commit to that, I'd love to know about it. You can just let me know personally or text me or email me or whatever. Also, it's important, if you're going to seek Jesus and be about the Father's business, I want to invite you to be connected to a Sunday school small group. We have a Sunday school small group for every individual in this room this morning. From the youngest child to the oldest adult, we have a small group. Because you see, we can't get to know one another in this particular setting as well as we can in a Sunday school small group. You see, all we've done this morning is if you've heard lecture, but you remember that the educational model that Jesus participated in, asking and listening. That's what happens in those Sunday school small groups. There are questions asked, and then there's listening. There's Bible taught, and then there's questions asked. And I would invite you to be a part, be connected with one of those Sunday school small groups. And then finally, I would encourage you to be about the Father's business, seeking Jesus in 2024 by being a part of a ministry where you are serving the Lord by serving others. Maybe that's in our Sunday morning nursery. Maybe that's in our choir. Maybe that's in our welcome team. Maybe that's in our security ministry. Maybe that's a part of Backpack Buddies that resumes this week. But what ministry are you connected to? Are you a part of? Are you serving God by serving others? I want to challenge you to be about the Father's business, seeking Jesus in the new year. And then there's one last component of my invitation, and I mentioned it previously. If you're here this morning and you have never had Jesus' death on the cross applied to your life, well, what does that mean? That means admitting that you're a sinner and that your sin separates you from God, and believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross in your place and for your sin. And his death on the cross and what he accomplished there, giving us the opportunity to be at peace with God when we put our faith and trust in Christ. When you then confess him as Lord and Savior, you are applying the blood of Jesus. Obviously not literally, but spiritually, you're applying the blood of Jesus to your heart and to your life to save you from your sin in the same way that the blood of that unblemished lamb was applied to the doorway so that the angel of death would pass over the homes of the Israelites in Egypt, and the foreshadowing of what Jesus Christ would offer to us. Today I would invite you to put your faith and trust in Christ for the very first time. In just a moment after I finish praying, we're going to be standing and singing together a song of commitment. A hymn of invitation. I'll be here at the front. Brother Ronnie will be here at the front. And we would love to welcome you this morning if you would respond publicly to God's word. Maybe that's to put your faith and trust in Christ for the very first time. Maybe that's to unite formally with Emory Baptist Church and church membership. Maybe you just simply need to come to the front and pray on bended knee. You'll have the freedom to do that. But today, I hope that you'll accept the challenge. Or challenges that God has presented to you this morning. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we are grateful and thankful to know the very little that we know about Jesus' life and his experience as a 12-year-old boy in Jerusalem with his parents here at the end of Luke chapter 2. Father, we trust your word that this is all we need to know. Let us be found faithful. I pray, Father in heaven, today that your Holy Spirit has convicted individuals who are lost of their lostness. and you were at work even right now, drawing them unto you and giving them faith to believe, and Lord, giving them courage to confess you before men. Father, I pray that you'd give courage and boldness to our guests today, who you are calling and leading to formally unite with Emory Baptist Church and church membership. And Father, give us courage to accept the challenges that have been shared with us this morning. The challenge of parenting our children with the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The challenge in believing fully in the God-man, Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man. And then being about our Father's business in 2024, seeking Christ at every turn. Father, we love you. We're grateful for your love for us. And we ask and pray all of this in Jesus' name. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet? As Brother Chris comes to lead us, and Brother Ronnie and I are here at the front, today we invite you to respond to the invitation.